Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy to see you today, sir. I hope you had a great St. Patty's weekend and St. Patty Day. Were you wearing the green yesterday?
Actually, you know, I'm one of these, and I'm Irish. I have no excuse, but, you know, when you're retired, you forget the day sometimes. They kind of all run together. And, you know,
do you remember when you were in school, you know, they used to always say, because St. Patty's Day could fall like during the, you know, during the school week, or if it was on the weekend, you had a St. Patty's Day at school and you had to be wearing the green. If you didn't wear the green, somebody could sneak up and bench you.
I never really
wore the green, and they never pinched me after the first.
Well, you were a strong guy, you know. I'd turn around,
and hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
Wham!
That would go over like a pregnant pole vaulter, as they would say. Yeah, not a good thing to be doing. But it was a nice day, you know. They had a parade here in Pittsburgh, and it was mobbed. It was not a bad day. You know, I happened to have to go pick up my daughter and my grandson, who were at the Penguins hockey game, which is at the PPG Paints Arena, which used to be called Console Arena. It's where the Penguins play hockey, and it's right downtown. So it was the worst time in the world to have to go pick somebody up. You know, and what makes it worse is they were staying at a place. I was to pick him up at a hotel, which is on the same side as the arena. And I figured I'll get there early. I don't want them waiting. So I drive up to into Pittsburgh, and I literally, Bill, I get 10 feet from the entrance to the hotel. But there are people walking down the hill. The game is over, and they're walking across the street, and there's a cop there, and the cop won't let me turn into the hotel. And really? I said, I got to pick somebody up. You have to go all the way around. All the way around was 3 miles. 3 miles out of the way. So
I've been through those Pittsburgh detours. So they go forever. And then, you know, I can turn up here. That's a one-way street. They're going the wrong way.
Well, you know, Bill, when I first moved to Pittsburgh, I can remember literally, you know, trying to find my way around. I could remember seeing the road that I had to get on. And I would parallel it for maybe a mile, thinking, "Oh, it's got to be a way to get to it." And then it would veer off like a Y, you know, and the road would disappear, and I would never get to it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway,
going the wrong way.
It was an interesting weekend. I did pick up my daughter and my grandson. Everything was great. The game they saw, the Penguins did lose, the Penguins did have a good game on Sunday. So, you know, but that wasn't the game they were at. And it was a nice weekend. It was nice having family all around, you know. I wish the country situation were more resolved and was more stable. I think we're living in difficult times. Over the weekend, Bill, you probably heard this. Trump was speaking in Ohio, and it was a terrific rally. You know, he packs the places. Like no other political candidate of our time.
Well, let me ask you a question, because, you know, no, I didn't hear the speech, but I know that Trump, just about every day, he's out on the road and he's at a rally. If he's not at a rally, he's defending himself. But either way, he's going. Biden is doing nothing.
Right.
But Biden didn't do a speech yesterday, St. Patty's speech, which he gaffed all the way through it.
Yeah.
But they're talking about Trump and a gaffe, and it wasn't a gaffe. It wasn't a mistake at all.
It was a lie on the part of the media.
A convenient edit to make a narrative that they're trying to build on this guy. They're taking all of Biden's bads and casting them on Trump. Oh, he's the senile one. No, Biden's the senile one, and he's a mean SOB too. Trump is not a bad guy. He's a nice guy. And what he said and what they said, well, you paint the picture.
Yeah, President Trump was enthusiastically describing the car situation, the manufacturing situation in our country, if he's not elected. And he gets very passionate about certain topics. This is one of them. And he was talking about how the Chinese are building these new automotive plants in Mexico because there's an exemption on cars coming from Mexico into the United States that other countries don't have. Other countries, like cars that are built in China, have to pay tariffs when they're shipped to the U.S. But because we have a certain agreement with Mexico, if it's manufactured in Mexico, those tariffs aren't there. It's cheaper for the car manufacturer. So in the long haul, a lot of manufacturers are building their plants in Mexico and then shipping them into the U.S. and sneaking around that tariff, you know? So President Trump said if he's not elected, it's not going to be a pleasant thing for car manufacturers, especially car workers in the United States. Here is what, I want you to listen very carefully to this. Here is what President Trump said, edited, okay? This is the short version. This is the
news version.
That's exactly right, Bill. NBC, CBS, ABC, Nancy Pelosi goes to CNN, literally. She must have had a cab waiting, because when she saw this clip, she raced down to CNN, and she lied about what Trump had said. I haven't got her clip. I'm not going to play it for you anyway, because she irritates me.
Talk about an incognitive person.
Oh, my God.
She'd spit her teeth out, but anyway.
But here's what Trump said. This is the edited version.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
That's what they're playing.
Now, let me ask you a question. Because they want to paint the picture that he's radical. Now, that sounded pretty radical.
Sure did.
And the radical right, all the MAGA people. Well, if we were really radical, right. Bloodbath, yeah!
Yeah.
We're not a Democrat in a senator in Tennessee calling for riots, which that did happen, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no. I know.
So what's now the other side of the coin, the real story?
Okay, this is what President Trump said in context. This is the whole answer, unedited. This is what they're not playing on the major news channels. Listen to this.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
And that's the end of the answer. But they took the little tiny piece of his sentence, right? And they used that little tiny clip to make it sound like he was standing in front of the crowd saying, if I'm not elected, there'll be a bloodbath, period. And that's not what he was talking about at all. But now some people say, well, he shouldn't have used the term bloodbath anyway. Bloodbath is used in business all the time. He's a businessman, all right? When they say, I put a lot of money into that and it was a bloodbath. I should never have invested in that company. I lost everything. I mean, that's the kind of...
The news has used it in defining an election. Yeah, you know, someone won by a landslide. It was a bloodbath.
Absolutely.
It's a figuratively speaking, figuratively speaking, a bloodbath. But they took it out of context. Yeah, there were clear edit points there. It was an easy edit for them. You know, touche, you're a rookie. You know, if you went for the easy edit to sit there and spin a story bad.
Yes.
You know,
they did.
You're a clown. You ought to be kicked out of your position, you dumbass.
You know, Mike Pence, the former vice president.
The latter, yeah.
We all knew what kind of guy he was after January 6th, okay? We all knew that he was not a dependable, reliable, supporter of the president in our views. He just wasn't. He calls himself a conservative. He calls himself a person on the right. But let me tell you something. Understand something. He's not running for president right now like he was a few months ago. He's just a plain citizen, but he's still showing up on television and trying to essentially nail President Trump. I want you to, he has no reason to be on TV. None.
No.
All right?
None whatsoever.
Here's what he said about President Trump talking about the people who are currently incarcerated as a result of January 6th. Listen to this.
I know in the past you've said Mr. Trump's reckless words endangered you and your family on that day. What do you think when you hear him refer to those people facing charges as hostages and patriots?
Well, I think it's very unfortunate at a time that there are American hostages being held in Gaza, that the president or any other leaders would refer to people that are moving through our justice system as hostages. And it's just unacceptable. I was there on January 6th. I've no doubt in my mind, Margaret, that some people were caught up in the moment and that entered the Capitol. And they're certainly entitled to due process of law for any nonviolent activities that day. But the assaults on police officers, ultimately an environment that claimed lives, is something that I think was tragic that day. And I'll never diminish it.
And the legal system is processing these individuals through and giving them trials. I wonder what you think, though, about Mr. Trump and whether the public needs to hear and see some of the evidence in regard to the federal charges related to his alleged role in January 6th. Do you think that needs to happen before Election Day?
Well, I think the American people lived through that moment. I and my family and my team lived through it at the Capitol that day. I think most Americans know what happened. As I've said before, I truly do believe that the judgment about the president's conduct that day should have been left to the American people. I know it's been brought into a criminal trial now, and we have cases around the country that have been brought related to that, notably in Georgia. But at the end of the day, I think the American people know what happened that day. And I said the people that ransacked the Capitol need to be held to the fullest account of the law. And I believe that they are. But the judgment about the president's efforts that day, I think, can be left to the American people. But look, I said last week that, after a lot of prayer and reflection, I've come to the conclusion that I won't be endorsing Donald Trump this year. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of the record of our administration, Margaret. It was a record that left America more prosperous and more secure and our liberties and the sanctity of life stronger than ever before in my lifetime.
This guy is absolutely full of himself, and he is a turncoat. He is, if this were the Revolutionary War, he would be on the side of Benedict Arnold, in my opinion.
Well, he is right, though. There really was an insurrection. The insurrection are the lies that they withheld evidence. Trump did try to secure the Capitol. He was concerned about things, but the Secret Service evidence that was there that they had, Liz Cheney and the crew decided, we can't do that because then we can't indict or do anything to Trump, which he wasn't indicted for this or anything, but they had to paint a negative narrative. Now, Liz is out there going, Trump should be afraid of me. Well, she ought to be afraid because the evidence is coming out that she is one of the ringleaders of the insurrection, the real insurrection, and that is the lie that was
perpetrated. Bill, what they're saying is that she had evidence at the January 6th hearing that she literally, intentionally squelched. She didn't present it, and she saw it. She saw what it would do if it's presented, and she figured, well, we're not going to touch that.
Well, you know why? I mean, she's in touch with the deep state. After all, her daddy's president of it.
Well, let me ask you a question, Bill. Here's how I'm feeling about all this stuff. I feel that there's a deep and panicky and I say panicky, desperation on the part of the left with every passing day as we get closer and closer to the elections. Well, let me just finish, though. Okay. I think that they figure that they're going to lose power, and in doing so, they're going to finally be brought to justice, literally, not figuratively. I think that they're afraid that Trump is going to put a real Justice Department in place quickly, and they're going to go after the people who lied and cheated the American people over the past 4 years. Don't you feel that?
Well, yeah, I feel a little deeper than that, because everyone goes, well, there's the left party, there's the right party, and there is a deep state. Now, I would say the left is kind of, you know, joined at the hip to the deep state. So that's kind of like a one-party system there. And there are rhinos that are into this deep state system too. You know, it's almost like it's a one-world government, but they are willing to keep their power because Trump is the threat to the deep state, the rhinos, and the extreme left. He is a threat, and so they will burn down the very institution of the United States.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
To keep their power. See, they will do whatever they have to do. They will kill.
Yep.
They will blow up. They
yes.
will tear down the borders.
Well, they proved it, Bill. They proved it on January 6th because many people on the right, like myself, figure the whole thing was staged by the left. And people died as a result of that day, specifically Trump supporters.
It's all optics and linguistics. Now, the linguistics, what do you mean by that, Bill? Well, okay, you know, this is a country, if you go look at the history, we're immigrants. We're all immigrants of some form or fashion. Yeah, I was born here, but, you know, my own grandparents and whatnot, and my parents were born here. But other than that, they were immigrants. You know, coming to America. But, you know, what they're trying to say is you can't call an illegal alien, you know, an illegal alien. You have to call them undocumented. You see, there's no such thing as undocumented aliens, you know, but undocumented citizens, you know, and there's no such thing as illegal citizens. So by using the word undocumented, we have now incorporated them as citizens. We just need to make it official, you know, and that's
well, they're
that's
talking
what
about
they're
it
doing.
More and more. The left is talking about it more and more, making them citizens ASAP.
Where are they going to get the jobs? Where's the money going to come from? And what's going to happen to you? I mean, you know, they'll tout that the economy is so good. Really? You got businesses closing down. I was in the dollar. I'll say one of the dollar stores that focused on everything a dollar, and they went up after the pandemic to $1.25. Now they got things, well, there are some things over a dollar. They're five, you know, and under, or three and under, you know. And then the bag of chips came in there, the big bag of small chips, the small bag that's really big. And they're going, well, that should have been like $1.25. Well, it's $2.50 now. And I'm like going, boy, their brand just went out the window, you know, but that's Biden's America.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, deals that we used to have, deals, they're not there anymore. There's no such thing.
And we're forgetting about the energy consumption, the crisis. You know, well, we're going to go all green and electric, which is actually more polluting than anything else. And it's hard. We don't have the infrastructure. And it's hard to maintain. Whereas gas, petrol fuel is burning cleaner and actually, it dissipates. And they're sitting there. We have an abundance of replenishing oil under our ground, but Biden shut it off. So if we keep the gas cars going, because we can't go electric for a long time, even the pundits will tell you that now, then, I mean, we're going to be horse and buggy again soon with no borders. No borders. You got no country. I mean, we're a minute to midnight in this country.
Okay, I got to play this for you before we, this is a 10-minute cut. We talked
That's
about
fun.
This. This is Cheryl Atkinson. She does a podcast called Full Measure. And this was from about a week ago, where she talks about, maybe a little longer, but she talks about the unfairness of our American media. You know, we just heard an example the first thing this morning. We heard about the bloodbath and how they literally took a sentence cut it into a piece and made it into something completely different, and then they tried to sell it to the American people. Now, we look at that and we think, all right, you saw January 6th yourself. If you were watching TV and paying attention, you saw a lot of people standing around, peacefully and patriotically, but yet they tried to tell you that it was an insurrection. I read this. Someone said if it was an insurrection, it would have happened overnight and people would have had baseball bats. That's what they would have had. But no, these people were standing outside with their wives, sometimes their kids, looking from the Capitol lawn, and that was an insurrection. They're trying to. And Mike Pence, he should know better, but the fact is Mike Pence is a rhino, and Mike Pence was a plant early on in the Trump administration. Trump, in his naivete, being a newcomer to Washington, he was sold a bill of good on Mike Pence, and we got screwed as a result because Mike Pence, when push came to shove, he stood aside and let all of baloney happen, and now he's trying to tell you that that wasn't baloney, that was steak. Anyway, here's Cheryl Atkinson. I want you to hear this. This is worth listening to. It will explain the lies that we're being fed by American media over and over again about Donald Trump.
We're now moving into the most heated phase of the 2024 presidential campaign. Few things are as important to the two top candidates, Biden and Trump, as getting positive coverage in the news. Donald Trump had a decided disadvantage in 2016 and 2020 when it comes to the traditional press and social media. Here at Full Measure, we've documented the media's uniquely harsh treatment of Trump since he first declared his run for the White House, including an explosion in the trend of false reporting by formerly well-respected national news outlets. We've also been tracking media mistakes under the Biden presidency to see if he'd fall victim to the same syndrome. In other words, is the media making an unprecedented number of sloppy but innocent errors, or is their behavior part of a calculated strategy? Today's cover story, What the Record Shows. When President Biden spent last Christmas on vacation with family, he continued the longest string in two decades of a U.S. president not visiting the troops during the holiday. But there was no criticism in the press like there had been of his predecessor.
Thank you.
President Trump. With Trump, the media was eager to blare negative headlines, even when false. In 2018, NBC incorrectly reported that Trump stayed home at Christmas time, the first U.S. president since 2002 to skip visiting the troops. The news went global. But it wasn't true. The media had jumped the gun. Trump and First Lady Melania left the White House Christmas Day to visit U.S. soldiers in Iraq. On Thanksgiving, Newsweek made a similar error, falsely reporting that Trump was spending the holiday golfing at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. But the reporter had fabricated the golf story. Trump flew to Afghanistan on Thanksgiving to again be with the troops, making Trump the only president in U.S. history to visit troops in a combat zone both on Thanksgiving and so close to Christmas, though the press never reported that. 3 years into the Biden presidency, it's clear Trump was treated with unique unfairness by error-riddled reports in the media, always cutting in a negative direction. There's been no similar trend under Biden. But first, a reminder of just a few of the worst media mistakes about Trump. CNN claimed Nancy Sinatra was not happy her father's song was played at Trump's inauguration. I did it. Nancy Sinatra responded, "That's not true. I never said that. Why do you lie, CNN?" Time falsely claimed Trump removed the bust statue of Martin Luther King from the Oval Office. TMZ reported Trump changed Black History Month to African American History Month, but Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton had all called it African American History Month. BBC, The Guardian, and others reported that Trump wasn't bothering to listen to a speech by Italy's prime minister since he wasn't wearing translation headphones. Turns out he was wearing a translation earpiece. Newsweek and others reported Poland's first lady refused to shake Trump's hand, but later had to admit she did. CNN edited Trump's remarks to make it seem as though he didn't realize Japan builds cars in the U.S., But the full statement made clear that he does.
You've been creating jobs for our country for a long, long time. Several Japanese automobile industry firms have been really doing a job.
CNN also edited a video to make it seem like Trump impatiently dumped fish food in the water at Japan's palace. But he'd followed the lead of Japan's prime minister. Newsweek claimed Ivanka Trump plagiarized one of her own speeches, which is impossible since plagiarizing is stealing someone else's work. The UK Telegraph apologized for at least 8 mistakes in an article criticizing Melania Trump. The New York Times, AP, CNN, and others excerpted a Trump comment as if he'd called all illegal immigrants animals.
These aren't people. These are animals.
Later corrections noted he'd been referring to members of the murderous MS-13 criminal gang. The New York Times Magazine and CNN shared a story showing children illegally brought into the U.S. supposedly in cages. But the article and photos were actually from the Obama administration. Agence France-Presse mistakenly reported that more than 100,000 children brought in by illegal immigrants were being held in detention. That was actually the total number in 2015 under Obama. Time and others showed a crying Honduran child to illustrate Trump separating illegal immigrant parents from children, but the child hadn't been separated from her parents in the U.S. MSNBC falsely claimed Trump banned the Red Cross from visiting the immigrant children. The Red Cross said that wasn't true. MSNBC also falsely claimed that Trump had talked about exterminating Latinos, but later corrected that and apologized. NBC News misidentified the focus of Trump's praise in a speech as Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Actually, Trump was talking about Union General Ulysses S. Grant.
And his name was Grant, General Grant.
The Washington Post and others falsely reported that Trump-supporting pro-life Catholic high school students were the aggressors in a confrontation in Washington, D.C. Several news outlets featured an empty podium at Trump's 4th of July celebration in 2019 and said he didn't draw crowds, but the photo was taken before the event. The actual crowd was huge. The New York Times and others implied Trump hadn't paid income taxes for 18 years. But the record shows he'd paid a higher rate than Democrats Bernie Sanders and President Obama. Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal reported special counsel Robert Mueller had subpoenaed Trump's bank records. That wasn't true. Politico falsely reported that Trump owed the Bank of China tens of millions of dollars in a loan coming due as he dealt with China on coronavirus. Not true. MSNBC falsely reported that Trump had loans with Russian co-signers. Slate.com falsely claimed a Russian bank server had been illicitly communicating with Trump Tower. And the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, and many others falsely reported that the Hunter Biden laptop scandal story was unsubstantiated or Russian disinformation. The New York Times reported that Trump seized on hydroxychloroquine as a miracle cure. Trump never said that.
And it may work and it may not work. But if it doesn't work, it's nothing lost by doing it, nothing.
CNN and others criticized Trump for tweeting that Alabama would likely be affected by Hurricane Dorian. But official advisories had put Alabama in a projected impacted area. Vox.com tweeted that Trump suggested he'd been a 9/11 first responder. He'd said the opposite.
And I was down there also, but I'm not considering myself a first responder.
Multiple media falsely claimed Trump was golfing during a U.S. raid that captured the head of ISIS in Syria and that a White House photo of Trump had been staged. But Trump was at the White House. ABC aired video showing what it called a slaughter against Kurds by Turkey after Trump withdrew U.S. troops, but the video was file tape of a training show in the U.S. And USA Today connected the eagle on a Trump campaign T-shirt with a Nazi eagle, later admitting the eagle is a longtime U.S. symbol, too.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
After Biden was sworn in, what did we find? The media made fewer major mistakes, and the ones they did make still cut against Trump or somehow favored Biden and his agenda. Here are just a few examples. The New York Times published a fabricated claim that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick was killed by pro-Trump supporters who struck him in the head with a fire extinguisher. However, Sicknick died from a stroke. The Poynter Institute's PolitiFact, The Washington Post, and others falsely said the idea of COVID coming from a lab was a debunked conspiracy theory. WebMD, USA Today, and others incorrectly dubbed the 2020 Sturgis, South Dakota motorcycle rally a COVID super spreader event. Data showed the rally had way below the national average of cases. Associated Press falsely stated that 70% of recent calls to Mississippi Poison Control were from people who'd taken ivermectin for COVID. The actual number was reportedly 2%. USA Today falsely claimed President Biden only checked his watch after the return of U.S. soldiers killed in Afghanistan. In fact, Biden repeatedly checked his watch during the ceremony, as families of the fallen soldiers claimed. Mediaite falsely declared that Joe Biden had not referred to baseball great Satchel Paige as a Negro. In fact, he'd done just that.
You know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time. His name was Satchel Paige.
And the Washington Post claimed Senator Tom Cotton was wrong to say murderers like the Boston Marathon bomber would qualify for COVID stimulus checks under Biden. Turns out the convicted killer did receive a stimulus check in prison. Trump sued CNN for $475 million for calling his challenges to the 2020 election the big lie. He argued it defamed him because the big lie is a Nazi term. The judge threw out the case, saying CNN was using the term as an opinion and it didn't necessarily link Trump to Hitler or genocide of Jews.
Cheryl Atkinson, that's from her TV show. It's a podcast and TV show called Full Measure. The show's right in syndication. It's from Sinclair Broadcasting. And, you know, Bill, people should think for us. First of all, people should remember Cheryl Atkinson. Where does that name come from? She spent 21 years as a substitute anchor and reporter at CBS News. Okay, mm-hmm. She was one of their up and coming stars. She left in 2014. She was kind of pushed out the door in 2014 because things started to change at networks. You know, Trump won in 2016, right? So we're talking like there was a 2 year difference between when she left and when the election was, and so you have a woman here who was a real reporter, Cheryl Atkinson. You have Laura Logan, a real reporter, and she's gone. And you have Catherine Herridge, a real reporter in Washington, and CBS fires her. Who do you think's wrong in this story? Who do you think the real villains in this story are?
Well, it's the media and the people that feed the media. And again, it gets to that deep state. Now, as you listen to it, you're saying, well, you know, it's simple. You take all of that information and you put it together on a fact sheet, or even you buy billboards with one item at a time, you know, and you do the shaving, you know, billboards that were always along the road before my time and your time.
Oh, no, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So you do.
Barbasol.
Barbasol, you subliminally plant the real truth in their mind so they see it and they see it and they see it. But there's one problem with that. Let's say that you made those things, you know, and brought up those 30 different points or whatever it is, and just put it out there that you can't refute. You know, the media, Facebook will yank them down for misinformation.
Yeah,
the only
that's
place
true,
you can put
Bill.
It on Twitter, the only place you can put it on is Twitter, but any mainstream media, I'm not even going to call it liberal, any mainstream media will not let you defend yourself. No, you're a liar. You're guilty. Can't put that up there. It's fake information. Let me show you the real truth. As they say,
isn't that amazing? We live in a country right now.
In a communist state.
Where the truth is censored. The truth is censored. opinions. Just
CBS,
opinions.
ABC, MSNBC, NBC, and CNN, they're all state radio.
They are.
And, you know, you go, well, you can't have that many networks and be state radio. Yeah, you know, you got BBC 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You got
look at CBC. You got CBC in Canada. They're another mm-hmm. arm of the government.
Right, and yeah, and it goes down in order. They're not even original by how they name them. At least we have originality somewhat in the names. Well, but it's state radio. It's state news. It's state propaganda. So what I'm trying to say is you really got to, when you hear something, oh, that's bad what Trump said. Do
you
some
know,
research.
They always
and
had liberals. They always had liberals in network news, always. Okay, they were always there. But when I was a young man and worked in these broadcasting companies, they kind of kept their political beliefs to themselves, and there was an outline they had to follow as far as stories go. They had to get both sides of the story. There had to be, I hate to use the term because it's overused now, it had to be fair and balanced, literally. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a slug line for a news organization. It was a real belief in the journal, in the world of journalism, that you couldn't report stories that weren't truthful. You had to have a truthful, balanced, objective approach to a story. That's gone now. That's gone. These people now, literally, if you are, and I know people who have been important people in these network news organizations. I literally know them, and they will tell you that they had to leave. They had to get out of the newsrooms because
it stinks.
Not only that, but they became pariah for being old-school journalism people, journalists.
The news today is built on perception. Perception's reality.
Yeah.
If they put out an image out there that perception means that you can carve out what really is reality and not, that you can take fiction and make it reality.
Well, yeah.
And they're doing that with linguistics.
Well, Joseph Goebbels, his whole philosophy for Hitler was perception is reality.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, visualization, that's out there, and you've got the twist on words, linguistics. I sent you a meme that came out over the weekend floating around, might have been out for a little while, but, you know, the left, they have one central source to go and get these memes. Somebody sits there all day, and to me, that's, you know, it's not absent malice. There's malice in intent there.
Absolutely.
That's an indictable offense there. And, you know, at some point in time, there's either going to, the whole fabric of the country is going to break down and we will be.
Bill.
There will be no truth to anything.
There
will be justice.
You have to believe that the border situation is intentional. It is intentional. The left, Joe Biden, his administration, they want it to be as it is. They want it to continue. They want it mm-hmm. to continue. And they knowingly do this with the knowledge that people will die as a result. Will die. Will not get hurt. Every single day there are people dying as a result of our border situation. And the Biden administration smiles and just lets it happen. Just encourages it.
Yeah. And like I said, it's all verbal and visual. Like that thing I sent you, they wanted to portray Trump and Marjorie as trailer park trash, and we're not going to go into it. But
it was interesting. It was a poorly done meme, by the way. It was
it really was
photoshopped. It was done by a 12-year-old, but it was you can describe the picture. Go ahead.
Well, there's an old rundown trailer. It's in rural America. There's Marjorie in a pair of cutoff jeans, you know, older pair of jeans, and, you know, some kind of just little black T-shirt on top. But she was riddled with tattoos looking at Trump. He's sitting there leaning against the trailer, but they didn't have him really fat. He had a little bit of a pot belly in this one, but, you know, it's photoshopped. You know, in a
blue
pair
jeans,
of, you know,
yeah.
blue jeans, faded blue jeans, some old sneaks, and a T-shirt, and he's drinking a beer. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? How many people have they offended? And I went down the list, and over 98% of America was offended by this, and it painted a bad picture for them. Rural America. Well, rural America makes up a vast majority of the population, some, I think, 93% of America, but, you know, that's not all the population that lives there. It's you know.
Well, when I worked in New York, Bill, they had two Americas. They had civilization, which was New York and its up to its borders, and then we had the uncivilized who lived beyond the New York border. They think of themselves like an elite.
Well, they're not elite, but you know, 93% of America is rural, which takes up about 18 to 20% of our population. That's pretty significant. You know,
they talk about MAGA. You hear the disdain all the time.
Trying to park trash.
Well, listen.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends.
And he also said,
look, this is not your father's Republican Party. 30% of it is made up of these MAGA Republicans who are maybe... Democracy is something they don't look at it the same way you and I look at democracy.
He has to whisper it, you know. We're MAGA. We're bad.
MAGA's bad, but we're better. We're the elite.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying with that picture. They depicted, I mean, you talk about middle class America and poor America. That's 79% of the population. And we're all barely getting by. But you know what? After I went through all the numbers, you can Google them. If I brought it up, and these are a lot of it liberal facts too, that you know they want to place the blame well on the rich. They're not taxed enough, but yet Biden, you know, and Obama didn't pay their fair share of taxes. Really, when you get down to it, no, it's not really a tax situation. It is a leadership problem that we have. We got the wrong leadership, and we got the wrong people pulling the strings. Yeah.
You know,
it is a corruption problem.
Elon Musk is not a conservative. Elon Musk is a moderate, but he's a common sense moderate. He's a pretty smart guy. Over the weekend, he warned that there must be a blowout Republican victory in November, or America will be irreparably doomed.
Fubard.
That's it. We're done. Put a fork in it. It's over. Okay.
Like I said, we're a minute from midnight in more ways than one, in our economy, in our security, in our administration that doesn't know what they're doing, and the health of the world right now, thanks to the West and NATO, is on the brink of nuclear war, so maybe we're less than a minute till midnight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and people say, you talk about the border like it's a big deal. Yeah, I don't know if you heard about this. A Lebanese migrant was caught sneaking over the border. He admitted he's a member of Hezbollah, and he hoped to make a bomb, and his destination was New York. This is from the New York Post. Basil Abadi, 22, was caught by Border Patrol on March the 9th near El Paso. While in custody, he asked what he was doing in the U.S., and he replied, quote, I'm going to try to make a bomb, end quote, according to Border Patrol document exclusively obtained by the New York Post. In a subsequent sworn interview, Abadi said he had trained with Hezbollah for 7 years and served as an active member guarding weapons locations for another 4 years, according to the ICE documents.
You know, you can Google how to make a bomb. You can get plutonium in a lot of different places, including on campuses at school, because they teach nuclear physics. They might have a small reactor, but it's got enough waste in there that you can make a pretty nice dirty bomb. I'm just saying, the stuff is out there not as guarded as you think it is. We are a very... You know,
vulnerable.
Where we should be, so we're vulnerable. That's a good word, vulnerable. And our borders are now open. Again, we have no country, but, you know, it's all Trump's fault. According to Hochul in New York, she came out over the week and said, well, the borders, we got a border crisis. Forget about our immigrants here, you know. The simple fact is, it's Trump's fault.
These people
How in the heck is it Trump's fault?
These people are
Explain
treasonous.
Explain that to me.
These people are treasonous, okay? I mean... In every sense of the word, I'm not saying it metaphorically, they are treasonous. They are doing everything they can. It's all for their power. It's all for their personal benefit. They don't care who they hurt. I want to play a couple of cuts for you. Mm-hmm. This is a New York City resident. She's Asian. And she sounds like she may have come to this country legally some time ago. She says she's lived in the country for 50 years. All right. This is a New York City resident talking about her hometown.
They're not legal. If they were legal, they need to pay taxes.
What do you think is going to happen with the migrant crisis here in New York City?
It's getting bad because they're also next to my house and they piss on my door. I could tell that they're gang lords. I mean, they're tattooed up to head to toe. The people pissing on my door, they're tattooed up head to toe. And they're not, there's no law against illegal migrants committing crimes. So again, it's lawlessness, non-payment of taxes, siphoning all our money to their native countries. And it's just killing our economy. Eric Adams just said he's going to give 4,000 migrants jobs. That means 4,000 civilians have less jobs. It's just not fair to Americans. It's getting scary. Right now, you know, people in the Bronx are getting attacked. People Upper East Side, two of them just got attacked. And it's illegal to buy mace. It's illegal to protect yourself. I've lived here 50 years. And this is not fair that we feel unsafe in our homeland. And our own country is not defending us. And there's nobody to protect us. The police can do nothing. They told us they can do nothing because there's no law against them.
This is a lady who did it the right way, obviously. She came across legally. She is an American. And she's
ticked. She did make one mistake.
What's that?
She called them migrants. There is a difference between a migrant and an alien.
Yeah, well.
A migrant, you know, has gone through the means to come here legally, and that's the path to citizenship. When you come across the border illegally, then you're an alien, and you're an illegal alien. And that is not a path to citizenship. That's a pass to my boot kicking you back over the line, saying, you go back and you do it properly. You know, we're not saying America is closed. What we're saying is, you know, we have the right to say, yeah, you know what? You come from a nefarious background. You don't get to come in here.
Yeah, that's true. And we have to know who you are. We have to know your real name.
Invite a stranger into your house?
Never. Never. Although in Massachusetts, by the way, they want you to do just that. The governor of Massachusetts wants you to, Maura Healey, wants you to, if you have an empty room, give it to an illegal.
Well, do they have any empty rooms in the state capitol there? Because
I'm sure
maybe,
they do, yeah.
Well, then you know what? If you're an undocumented illegal there, go ahead and go to the state capitol in Massachusetts because they have vacancies. And I would actually go there and storm those gates and demand that they give you, you know, a place to room and board.
You know, people say, how bad is it that we have these undocumented aliens in our country? Ooh. Listen to this.
One of the great airports of not only Chicago, but the Midwest, and to see it being used as a migrant shelter is very alarming. It's not only a humanitarian crisis for the migrants, but for the people of Chicago as well. My sources at O'Hare are telling me that there's an outbreak of diarrhea. Who's going to want to fly in and out of this this airport under these circumstances? And the police that I talk to are saying it's not just in the airport, but also at the police stations. There's 18 migrant shelters in Chicago currently, including Chicago police stations, wow, which also are reporting an outbreak of diarrhea, overflowing toilets. Ooh. This is a health concern for the police officers who have to return to their families at the end of their shifts. And how are they supposed to arrest the violent criminals in Chicago, epidemic of violent crime, they're babysitting migrants?
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, you guys have a nice Democratic, administration running your city. This is what you get. You're a sanctuary city. Come on in, you know, outbreak of measles, something we had a handle on 50 years ago.
And yet, diarrhea.
Yeah.
I mean, in the airport with the toilets overflowing. Gate 6 and 7.
Oh.
We need the bucket and squeegee mob or crew in there.
Have you ever gone to O'Hare? Have you been to O'Hare?
Yes, I've flown through there.
It's a nice
times.
Airport. It's a nice airport.
Well, it was.
It was a nice airport.
Now it's kind of crappy.
yeah, you had to say that.
How else would you say it?
People are saying, and I hear people saying over the weekend, well, you know, we can fix it this election. See, I just don't hear them talking about how they're going to fix the cheat. I know we're going to get the votes. I know, because I think we had the votes in 2020. I truly believe that.
I'm absolutely sure we had the votes, but you know what, Jim?
Bill, in 2022, we had a steal. And because the system was the same system that we had in 2020. Nobody talks about the cheating in 2022, but it was there. I mean, we had a guy who was a surgeon in Pennsylvania, a guy who had a national reputation, somebody who was really a rock-solid candidate for the senator position. He was articulate and well-spoken. And then we had a guy who had suffered a stroke and couldn't put a sentence together. And logically, in any sane environment, and this is not a sane environment, people would just look at that and say, you know, the guy who's the surgeon, the articulate surgeon would have been the senator, not this guy who was stumbling and bumbling and couldn't string a sentence together, and who, when you saw the debate, the senatorial debate, it was a fait accompli. You knew it was not going to be favorable for the guy who had the stroke. No. It was favorable for the guy who had the stroke.
What's amazing is, he was blue jeans, sweatshirts, whatever. You ever seen him now? Since the stroke, and I guess they've rehabilitated him, he's wearing suits and showing up now in suits, and at least the ones that, now that could be all a prop, but he's not always saying what the Democrats want to hear about the border and whatnot, but he's still a lefty.
Yeah, but what's interesting is maybe he just got better, but he is much more articulate. He can string words together.
If you know anybody that's had a stroke, that kind of recovery is...
They said it wasn't going to happen. Doctors said he'll get to a certain point and that'll be it.
Hey, look, if the recovery's legit, how he ever got there, great for him. I hope it wasn't by any kind of nefarious means that's only available to certain people, because... There are a lot of stroke victims out there.
And, Bill, Tucker Carlson talked about voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
He said this.
Underneath all of the talk is a dire political reality. Joe Biden can't win. In a fair election, Joe Biden will lose in November. He cannot win. That's the thing that nobody in any media wants to say out loud. In a fair election, Joe Biden cannot win. So they're saying the opposite. Here, for example, is the pregame analysis over at MSNBC, which we watched while waiting for Biden to dodder up to the stage, waiting for the amphetamines to take effect. And keep in mind, as you watch this analysis, these are supposedly the smart kids. These are the smart kids, the ones with complicated glasses. These are the ones the White House looks to for guidance. And here's their analysis of Joe Biden's skills. Watch this.
This seems like a weirdly, counterintuitive hot take, even though it's the most obvious thing you could say, which is that Joe Biden is good at politics.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Like, Joe Biden is good at politics. He's very good at politics. Like, the man really does know what he's doing, and you really see it in those sort of situations.
Joe Biden is just really good at politics. It's the one thing he's really good at. Really? If Joe Biden is so good at politics, why is he losing to Donald Trump? Who the rest of us were assured was a retarded racist who no normal person would vote for. But now Joe Biden is getting stomped by Donald Trump, but he's also at the same time good at politics? Right. Chris Hayes, ladies and gentlemen, the most famous lesbian in television. So, again, they can't win, but they're not giving up. So what does that tell you? Well, they're going to steal the election. And we know they're going to steal the election because they're now saying so out loud. Here is the Attorney General of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of this country in Selma, Alabama, just the other day. Listen to this.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of black voters and other voters of color.
Did you catch that? Of course, you're a racist. That's always the takeaway. But consider the details of what the Attorney General of the United States just said. Mail-in balloting, drop boxes, voter ID requirements. The chief law enforcement officer of the United States government is telling you that it's immoral, in fact, racist, in fact, illegal to ask people for their IDs when they vote to verify they are who they say they are. What is that? Well, no one ever talks about this, but the justification for it is that somehow people of color, black people, don't have state-issued IDs. Somehow they're living in a country where you can do virtually nothing without proving your identity with a government-issued ID without government-issued IDs. So they can't fly on planes, they can't have checking accounts, they can't have any interaction with the government, state, local, or federal. They can't stay in hotels. They can't have credit cards. Because someone without a state-issued ID can't do any of those things. But what's so interesting is these same people, very much including the Attorney General and the administration he serves, is working to eliminate cash, to make this a cashless society. Have you been to a stadium event recently? No cash accepted. You have to have a credit card. In order to get a credit card, you need a state-issued ID. And somehow, that's not racist, but it is racist to ask people to prove their identity when they choose the next president of the United States.
Tucker Carlson, interesting. Yeah. We're being lied to on so many levels. It's amazing. It's almost like you don't know where to start when you hear stuff like Merrick Garland getting out and having the audacity to tell about how he's trying to safeguard voter rights by literally fixing the elections. That's what he's talking
about.
You
know, it's interesting, you know, because, you know, mail-in ballots, the computers, which I guess there's a move now to ban the computer software again in the machines. But, you know, Putin was elected over the weekend for another 6 years. And if you see the pictures of all the voting places and the people were lined up to vote and he won unanimously, but they have paper ballots.
Yes, of course. Yes.
And they have guards, not just appointees.
Of course.
From the left or the right. It's the government sitting there making sure there's no foul play. Now, I can't say what goes on behind the closed doors in the counting, but neither can you here. But we do have video proof that shows, go home, have the night off. Nobody's going to do anything. The door's shut. The lights go out. And then a few minutes later, they come back on. And boy, they're moving boxes out from under the table.
Yeah.
But there's an excuse for that.
Well, you don't want to talk about that. You'll get in trouble because the media will claim that you are a conspiracy theorist.
Right. Fake news. So why did I see them actually doing their election apparently properly, but we're the ones that do it bad? And, you know, maybe in defense of Biden, maybe not. You know, I go back to that trailer picture because I sat there and said, well, you know, they're trying to diminish everybody and these MAGA people. But I looked at, well, what is the popularity of, you know, just Google it. What is the popularity of Donald Trump? Between 63 and 71% of America love this guy. Now, if you break that down to real numbers, 63% is 220 million Americans. That's an election by a landslide.
Yeah.
71%, that would be 260 million Americans. That's a big landslide.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Now, Biden, the numbers I get from him of popularity are well below 30%.
So, Bill, the only way they can get him into office is by doing what?
Stealing. Because if you take the 30% that kind of like him from Democrats, you know, maybe it's if you said that was overall of everyone, that's 109. So there is a lie and a disconnect out here, friends, and you are not being told the truth. They know that they've got, as far as the cards go, they don't have a hand.
Okay.
But what they do have is all the media.
Okay. So we know that they're going to probably turn on the cheat machine again in 2024.
It's on right now.
Yes. That's true. The system is running now. all this propaganda that we're being shoved by the mainstream media, it's all part of it. But the thing is, if you know it, and if I know it, you know that Donald Trump and his people know it too. Yet they continue optimistically to move forward, almost with a gleam in their eyes. Like, we got something. It's almost like we know something that you don't know. That's the feeling I get when I listen to Trump talking with the optimism, and we got to all get out there and vote and stuff. There's not an equivocation in his voice. He really believes that he's going to win, and I don't think he's that naive. If the cheat is in place, you know, Bill, if the cheat is in place, he's got to see it. I see it. You see it. He's got to see it.
No, I think he does. But I think sometimes you look. He has no choice. He's in the fight now. He's in the fight. He's gone too far. Even if he pulls out, they're going to say, okay, we've won it now. He's pulled out. But let's go ahead and get his head and put it on our mantle for everyone to see that you don't mess with us. Because that's what the Democrats are fighting for now. You don't mess with us in the system, and no one ever will if they take Trump down. Doesn't mean that we don't support him. So Trump is counting on us to bring in rally and bring him through. That's not an insurrection. That's not saying go out on riots. See, that's telling you get out and you start politicking, you start polling, you start making signs, you show up at the elections, the primaries, you do whatever you got to do to get your candidate through the finish line.
Someone must have told him that at some point, at a certain point, if the system reaches this point, it'll be overwhelmed and the cheat won't work. No matter how hard they try, it won't work. But, you know, computers are amazing, amazing things. They can cheat. They can cheat with
the
best. Look,
you know, the cheat will visually work, and that's all they care about is the verbal narrative and the optics. They control the optics, and they control the verbal narrative. So if they say Biden won it by a landslide again, you guys are stupid, they think that's it. Now, what you've got to do is say, wait a minute. Mm-mm. That's not what happened. I voted for Trump. My dog Fowler voted, you know, but yeah, my I sister know. Voted yeah. for Trump. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Take inventory, you know, find out. And not that you should ask
people. But a lot of people did that in 2020, Bill. A lot of people, to their credit, did that in 2020, and they were squeezed out by the media. I mean, all those people who went to January 6th, on the Capitol lawn to protest peacefully, they were called, you heard Pence, the weasel Pence called them insurrectionists. You know, the fact that President Trump called the people in prison hostages, Pence, well, in his big feeling tone of voice, he's such a BS artist. Honest to God, friends, how this guy ever got so close to the presidency, that was one of Trump's major naive mistakes. He put that guy in the seat just behind him.
Well, think about this. Biden goes out to an event, and he might have a crowd of 6 or 7 people.
Yep.
You know, and Trump goes out and has 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people. Trump shows up, small cities, big cities, everywhere. He draws a big crowd, and this is not hit and miss. He is somewhere once, twice, thrice a week. He's doing
that. And he says basically the same thing over and over. I mean, he has little changes.
Well, he doesn't read a script. No, right. He doesn't read a script. He ad-libs it. So if he does stutter, they want to pick up on that. Well, you know what? You go out and do 3, 4, 5 speeches a week, and you do it all by ad-lib. Now, Biden,
they don't want him.
He ad-libbed the State of the Union. He's had... 3, going on 4 years to get that darn thing right. He's memorized it, and yet he could still stumble through it.
They had to put him on what, Adderall or something like that to.
Even a rock star, you know, that might have a catalog of 30 songs that they go out and do. They remember them and they do them, or they can, you know, change it around a little bit, but they get the gist of the song. When they don't, time to hang up the headphones and the microphone. You're done. Well, Joe, you're done. But no, he is a puppet. You know, they just want to keep that corpse alive and wheel him out on the stage and hope he doesn't fall on his face.
It's all about power. It's all about their control of power. Biden, you know, by the way, these same people, they don't really care about Joe Biden. They really don't. He like you say, he's a puppet. They don't care if he gets sick in the second term. They don't care what happens. They just want him to get by that milestone, that 2024 election, so their group can control our country. And you heard, like I said before, what Elon Musk said. He said he warned that there must be a blowout Republican victory in November, or America is irreparably doomed, period.
Well, here's why. I think, now you know that I believe that we have been corrupt for a while. The Democrat Party has been taken over. They're trying to take over the Republican Party. So we have actually, I mean, if Trump hadn't come along when he did, it would have been done. The fate would have been sealed with Hillary. And you know, we don't need a two-party system anymore. You know, it's just a challenger, or it's an independent that has no hope to do anything. So we need that party, that Republican Party. Trump got into there, so we have a chance. Otherwise, you know, we've lived under a dictatorship for a long, long, long time. And we talk about puppets. You know, it's a puppet show that we're watching. To me, before it was all optics, to sit there and let us think that we had a hand and control. When Trump won in 2016, he proved that you do have a say when you overwhelm the system. We're going to have to massively overwhelm it this time around.
And also, I'm hoping that the Republican National Committee, under new management, with new people in there, will be able to put some safeguards in place, maybe get some things removed from the electoral process, maybe make it a fairer system. We don't know. I don't know. But something's got to happen, because if they keep it the way it was in 2020, no matter how many people vote for Trump, he will lose because they will cheat. And that's the end of that tune. I just looked at the clock on the wall, Bill. It's that time.
You've used up all the time again.
Jeez, Jim. If you want to call us, 833-538-7868 is our number. 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com. Mail at jimandbill.com and jimandbill@mail.com.
And with that, I think it's fair to say that we've exhausted our time. There's only one thing left to do.
Well, in that case, without further ado, I...
Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.